What is up, guys? I am Kat Toffoli. This is Julie Petrie. Jules, what are we doing here?
We are here at the NHL headquarters in New York City to start our brand new podcasting journey,
which is called Never Offside
with Julie and Kat.
Yes, so this is crazy, but how this all happened was I did a few things with the NHL earlier last year. They came to me with this idea of this podcast that would be like very behind the scenes, and they asked me who made sense to do this journey with. And you're the first and only person I thought of, because you can A, talk to a wall, and then B, you and I have this crazy journey together in this crazy world.
It's really funny how the universe has brought us back together in this. We met in Montreal during, interesting times where we couldn't really hang out together. We
couldn't meet at all.
Yeah, we couldn't be in person. I think we met via Zoom. Mm-hmm. But it was a fast friendship, and just our history of, being college athletes, you working in sports. I'm the at-home GM of my house.
You have four kids, I have none, and somehow we have a lot in common.
It is the most wild connection, but it's just so funny how we're brought back together in this, because it's kind of something we joked about.
We always joked, because we went through such a weird time together in Montreal during that season that ended up going to the Stanley Cup, and that's pretty much when we finally met in person.
And you're forever bonded with your Stanley Cup run team.
Yes. But it was so strange. We were sitting rows apart. Obviously, everyone went through weird COVID times, but Montreal was probably the most lockdown, curfews every night, all that stuff. So we always joked that eventually, maybe when the guys were retired, we'd start a podcast and we'd talk about it and just talk about how we really feel about it.
But it's happening now.
Yes.
And here we are.
And it's an official NHL.
And we know podcast. What you're thinking. Never offside. It's kind of wait, isn't it offside?
Yeah.
No, the technical legit term is offside with no S.
However, it sounds so much better to say offsides.
So we might slip up here and there, but the official rule book is offside. So never offside with Julie and Kat.
And
we're going to chat with everybody. Yeah. I mean, we are going to sit down with sky's the limit.
I think that's probably why we came up with never, because there's no no's, I guess, for us. We're going to chat with other wives, other
players, maybe some execs,
maybe some GMs,
maybe some celebrities,
just
anybody and everybody. We're going to have conversation, giving you behind the scenes, real life look into the NHL. I think, social media and stuff does a funny thing of only showing parts and bits and pieces.
Yep.
And,
but we also like to show a lot of, we're pretty open with ourselves. So I think this is why this worked for us, because we already kind of we're already open books. But
And we have so many funny stories, things that just in the moment in time, we couldn't share or didn't make sense to share. But between the two of us, the stories are endless.
And there's lots of teams and just lots of journey.
Yeah.
Lots of journey and team and adventure, I guess.
Yeah.
But so anyway, the funniest part of this starting and kicking off here in the HQ was trying to think of who the first guest would be. And
shoot for the stars,
baby. We shot for the stars, and we asked for the commissioner to come on the show, and we wanted to ask him some behind-the-scenes questions.
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
So why he said yes, we don't know, but it's only downhill from here.
Yep. And
first guest today, the boss.
The boss.
The commissioner.
And he's coming up next. So here we go.
What's up, everybody? Adnan Virk here to tell you about a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League. It's NHL Unscripted with Virk and Demers.
Hey, I'm Jason Demers, former 700-game NHL defenseman turned NHL Network analyst, and boy, oh boy, does Daddy have a lot to say.
I love you, by the way, on NHL Network. We're looking forward to getting together each week to chat and chirp about the sport and all the other things surrounding it that we love, right?
Yeah, I just met you today, but we're going to have a ton of guests from the colliding worlds of hockey, entertainment, and pop culture. And you know what? tons of back and forth on all things NHL.
Yeah, you're going to find out we're not just hockey talk. We're into all kinds of random stuff on this podcast. Movies, television, food, wrestling, even the stuff that you wear on NHL Now.
You wish you could pull off my short shorts, Verky.
That's sure to cause a ruckus. Listen to NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers in the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we were not lying about our first guest, and he is right here with us, which is surreal. Please welcome Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I don't know why it's so surreal.
I don't know. I think coming, you know, two hockey wives getting to chat with the boss. I don't know. I think nobody's done it before.
Yeah, it was a funny reaction when we told our husbands.
Yeah, because they were like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
But I think first we want to.
And I hope you go back and tell them it's okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a flex on our part to them.
Yeah.
You know.
So. I don't think that they're surprised. Really, we could talk to a brick wall. They're like, yeah, you would talk to the top if you could.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I think we want to just start with what. What do we call you? Do we call you Mr. Bettman, Commissioner Bettman?
Gary.
Okay,
to follow that up, we were wondering if you've ever been dubbed a hockey nickname.
In the locker room?
None to my face, and
okay,
probably
so
none.
We have some suggestions.
We had some ideas, and we want to know which one you liked the best.
And maybe we'll be calling you that by the end of this conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, go
and it
for
might
it.
Catch on to the entire league.
Hopefully not.
Well, they're cute. The first one was Gersey.
Gersey, okay.
Betsy.
No, I know. Betsy, I got called when I was in elementary school.
Okay, that one's off. Or Betts.
Betts. Oh, actually, it was interesting. When I was in middle school, which, you know, ancient history, that was when the Batman TV series was on for the first time.
Okay.
And they called me Batman.
Oh, so your nickname was Batman.
But just for a brief period of time.
Oh, that's
cute.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
So.
By the way, you can call me whatever you want.
We kind of liked Gersey the best because they always add a Y and it's kind of.
I have a Y already.
Yeah.
but you got to tweak it. You know, like it's always funny.
The locker room tweak. Like I think it's funny when our husbands are talking about their teammates, it's by their nickname. Yeah. So some teammates I hadn't met, if they're new or younger, and I'm like introducing myself and I'm like, oh, hi. And I'm calling them by their nickname because I realize I don't know their first name.
Yeah.
So
they give you a funny look when you do that?
I think they're used to it, but then I feel awkward because I'm like, this is inappropriate. This is your locker room.
The other funny thing about that is when you go to a different team and somebody has the same nickname as somebody, like say it's a Miller. And it's another Millsy.
Millsy.
You know, so it's.
The question is, do you get your nickname switched when you switch teams?
No. I think it carries on. But like Jeff, when he moved to Pittsburgh, there was already a Petey.
Yeah.
So then actually Sid had to like rename Jeff. And it was JP there in Pittsburgh. And it just like didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And it was like, we just need like Petey 1 and Petey 2 or old Petey, young Petey. I don't know.
Well, kind of to back off that too, something when you go to a new team is hoping that someone doesn't have his number because we already have a lot of like, you know, merch,
swag, whatever.
So that's a big deal from our perspective.
It's important to be flexible in life.
Yeah, that's good advice. We're going to ask you more about advice later. So let's back up. When you got this ask, what were your thoughts? What were your like? To sit down with us, were you like, what?
I don't think anybody asked me. I think they told me.
They did? Okay.
No, it was great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Have you ever had a conversation with any wives, like formal like this? Formal.
Not that I recall. I've had plenty of conversations informally.
But not on a podcast.
Not on a podcast.
Yeah. Well.
So consider yourselves the first.
Wow.
Well, thank you. We feel honored.
Yeah.
Well,
so
do I, actually.
Again, flex for our husbands.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you listen to any podcasts?
Very infrequently.
If you're listening, can you drop which ones you're listening to?
No, I don't like to do unpaid endorsements or paid endorsements.
Gotcha.
No, but the fact is, I don't have a common you know, I listen to this person or people's podcast every week. It's opportunistic based on subject matter.
Yeah, somebody sent it. Cool. Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, we got our people telling us our research. We're doing our research on you. You're the longest standing commissioner, not only in hockey, but sports. Like, how did that happen? Like, were you a young boy dreaming of being in sports management or, like?
I grew up. Went to college, went to law school. Mm-hmm. I was going to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And the serendipity of life and being flexible, the opportunity came about under circumstances and timing where, you know, sliding doors or whatever they call it, all came together. And I had an opportunity as a young lawyer to go to the NBA when I was, I don't know, 29 or 30. And I was there during the 80s when the NBA went through its explosion. When I went to the NBA, I think I was the 25th employee, including support staff.
Wow.
Sports, professional sports, was in a whole different place in terms of the sophistication of not just the sport, but what was going on off the ice and how sports were being presented and the media opportunities that had yet to be created. And I was there for 12 years, and then the NHL was in need of somebody to run the league, and I survived the search that they conducted. And in 1993, I took over. So I was, I guess.
So were you 40... a sports fan?
Always.
Growing up.
I grew up in the New York area. And so you had every major sports, and in each sport, multiple teams that you could pick one to root for. And I went to New York City public schools, played in the New York City playgrounds. The asphalt version of what a Field of Dreams or whatever would look like. And then I went off to college and law school, as I said, but, you know, it was more about what opportunities would come. I kind of figured I was just going to be a lawyer all my life. Although there are a lot of people who work here who think I've never stopped practicing law, but that's a different issue.
Wow, that's amazing. And with your time spent in both leagues, the NBA, NHL, did you have a mentor, a specific mentor
I had two mentors. I had a mentor when I was practicing law, a gentleman named George Galantz, who was the head of the litigation department at Proskauer. And Proskauer in those days was really the only major firm that was engaged in what they called sports law, because a lot of the major firms thought sports business and sports law was a little beneath them. That's obviously changed over the decades. And then I went to work for David Stern, who I knew from the law firm when he was deputy commissioner at the NBA and then became commissioner. So when I went to the NBA as assistant general counsel, roughly 2 years later, he became commissioner, and at the ripe old age of 32, I became the commissioner, the general counsel of the NBA.
Wow.
And
was shifting from NBA to NHL, was that tough in terms of did you at first, were you going to miss the NBA, working in basketball or?
No, it was really, I understood how a sports league needed to run. Watching the industry, I understood the things that other leagues were doing in the NHL weren't. It was part of what I talked about during the interview process. I had been a hockey fan from a young age. I went to Cornell University.
Who was your team growing up?
No.
You know what?
I'll tell you a story about that in a second, but I went to Cornell where hockey, you know, for the Ivies and for Cornell was a big deal. They had recently come off their undefeated season and national championship. And I was a season ticket holder for the Big Red for all 4 years that I was up there. So hockey wasn't foreign to me, and I had been a fan. I rooted generically for most of the New York teams, but what was interesting is I grew up basically in a one-parent household. So nobody was passing sports on to me, history and tradition. So I always gravitated, I figured this out when I got older, I gravitated to expansion teams, so I didn't have to worry about the history that needed to be handed down that wasn't being handed down. I wanted to be that. Yes. Some, you know,
expansion teams. Can we talk about that with you?
Yeah, we can talk about anything you want. But the point was, I wanted to have access to all the information from day one, and not rely on what happened and hear stories from 20 years ago or 30 years ago because nobody was telling me them.
Right, and you got to be flexible and adapt with.
There you go. We have a common theme here.
So let's touch on this expansion since you opened up a little bit. I am from Houston, Texas, and you know there's all the rumblings here and there everywhere. When's it happening?
Do you still have family in Houston?
I have all my family. We can chat offline, but I want to be your ambassador to hockey in Houston one day.
If we go to Houston one day.
It's ready.
She's very passionate about this one.
We have expressions of interest from Houston and a number of other places. Expansion isn't a priority right now. Mm-hmm. If we're going to expand anywhere, we look at basically four things. We look at ownership. We look at the market. We look at the arena situation. And we look at whether or not the league would be stronger by having that presence. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the last two expansions, Seattle and Vegas, all those boxes were checked. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes in and says, here's how we're checking the boxes, we'll take a look at it. But we're not saying applications by this date, we're definitely going to expand by X number of teams. We're not going to do that now, at least not for the foreseeable future.
I think Houston checks all of them.
Yeah. They may. Well, who's the owner?
Maybe us one day. Okay. Who knows?
There you go.
Maybe this whole thing comes full circle.
There you go.
Okay, so that's that. Back to kind of your leadership. I'm really interested in this, just from like a leadership perspective. You're such a high profile person with this leadership of an entire league. How do you balance that role with your family life, your personal life?
That is a great question. This is not a job. Mm-hmm. This is a lifestyle. And my family, particularly my wife of 49 years, who we met in college. I think you met your husband in college.
I did.
That works pretty good. Mm-hmm. So we've been together 53 years.
Wow.
We get each other. She's and all the kids and grandkids are huge fans, and it's part of our life. And they understand that sometimes I'm there, but I'm absent. You know, there are sometimes I have to be in places.
They get it.
They get it, and they're a part of it. And you know,
sounds very relatable.
It's very relatable.
And by the way, family is the most important part of your life, no matter what you do, no matter who you are. And that ultimately applies to your husbands too, because at some point they're going to stop playing and they'll have a more normal lifestyle.
Right.
And it's the fact that they're hockey players will define them throughout their lives, but they won't be doing it for their lives. What they have with you and their families is the most important things that they have.
I think that's really special to hear from you, from the top, that that's a priority in your life, because I think from, you know, the bottom up, it's like knowing that that is the same goal, you know, throughout a league is really, it's reflective of
and it. And if you ask the 700 or so people that work here, they'll tell you that that philosophy goes into the organization. You know, if you have a child that has a show at school or a parent-teacher conference, you know, you'll make up the work at the appropriate time. But family, there has to be a family work-life and balance, or it doesn't work.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. Something that's really topical at the moment, outdoor games, which we love the outdoor games. They're so much fun.
Me too.
They're honestly one of the best, like, you know, when you find out that your husband has an outdoor game coming up, it's like you won something, or I don't know.
It's exciting. So it's a good like look forward to in the
season.
It's so
exciting.
And it brings people together in bigger numbers that we traditionally do. We've done 42 outdoor games.
42, wow.
I think more than 2 million people have attended them. They're all different. We try to make them better each time, but they're special. I mean, Because when you get done thinking about it, it's still a regular season game. And yep. Look at what we've done to it. So, yeah, we're very excited about them.
So can we talk about number 43 and 44?
If you'd like.
Okay.
But this is being embargoed for a little bit of time.
All right. Well, we're told they're both going to be in Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
This is exciting. How did we come to that decision? How do we keep the ice cold?
Because before we decided to do it, that had to be an essential element. Hockey in Florida is a big deal. Mm-hmm. When you look at events like All-Star, when you look at Stanley Cup championships, when you look at the growth of hockey in Florida at all levels, mm-hmm. it's been incredible. Both teams, the Lightning and the Panthers, ownership, the Vinicks or the Violas, have done an incredible job, both at their organization and for hockey at all levels. And so we thought it was time.
Yeah,
we've been to a lot of places. We've done 42 games, north and south of the border, and we've been in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. we've been in San Jose, and so we thought this was a good opportunity to have these two teams host. Mm-hmm. In terms of the ice, in Miami, we're going to play in a dome stadium where we can do the preparations and get the ice set so that, assuming it's not raining or anything, we can open it and it'll be an outdoor game, open the roof. And Tampa, a little more complicated in the football stadium, mm-hmm. But we're going to build some contraption that's going to let us set up, have the ice in place, do what we need to do, and then shortly before the game, get rid of the covering.
Evening game, so sun's not
blasting. And right now, today, while we're doing this, I think it's in the 50s in Florida. A week ago, it could have been in the 90s with 100% humidity, mm-hmm. but maybe we'll get a little lucky. Now, you know, I've been teasing this prior to the announcement by saying something new, something different, something innovative, and people will think maybe we've lost our minds. Yeah. But we think for the fans,
And the snowbirds that are there during that time of year.
They each have, snowbirds will be good, and I'm sure people will travel there, but both teams have great local fan bases.
It's really incredible.
Well, and the Marlins ballpark is just like visually really exciting, so it's gonna look awesome.
I just wanna know, do any of your grandkids have specific asks? I'm gonna ask Grandpa. What do your grandkids call you? Do you have a grandpa name?
Pa.
Short
of grandpa.
Yeah.
And I get asked all the time about going to games.
Yeah.
In particular, some of them want to come to Four Nations. They all come to All-Star.
Oh, that's fun.
But one of my children and his wife and their children were with us in Chicago.
So you always make them happen. You always make it happen.
Yeah. I mean,
that's awesome.
And that was Chicago with the outdoor game that we just had.
When you go to games at other arenas, we won't put you on the spot and ask you your favorite away game arena because
I love them. They're like
you
children.
Love them
all differently, but I love them all.
Got it.
You got it.
I love that answer. Okay, have you ever been into, there's family rooms for us to, put our stuff, our families, food, all the things. Have you ever been into those?
Occasionally.
You have your own.
I don't need a setup.
Low
maintenance. What I'll typically do.
You're just going and sitting in the owner's box.
Well, sometimes, not during the playoffs.
But
I try to get around to as many teams as possible, mm-hmm. because the touch and feel, the game presentation, the fans are a little different everywhere. And so the way that I can keep a sense of what's going on is to touch and feel. Because it's not, we're here in New York, and I can go two blocks to Madison Square Garden. I can go a half hour out to UBS. Right. I can go to the Prudential Center in New Jersey. But it's more than that. And so I try to get out to as many places as possible. But I also, and I know, eyebrows get raised when I show up at a game. I like to not disrupt routines. you know, the family room is your space, yeah. right? The locker room okay. is the player's space.
Do you ever look forward to, though, at any arena, like any specific food, like, you know, the hot dogs in Montreal, that's what they're known for. Like,
they're
are
great.
You like, I'm getting a hot dog every time I'm going to Montreal?
Of course.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, or the fried ravioli in St. Louis.
Oh, see? You know? There's our hot dog.
I was going to say, between the two of us, we've seen a lot of different.
Yeah. Like the popcorn at Rexall, yeah. when it was Rexall.
Yes.
was laced with something. It was so good.
I hope not a drug.
Well, it was well, something close to it because you could not stop eating
yeah.
it. But anyways, that is, those are like the fun things that I think we want to end with what we're going to call the quick shootout questions. So
okay.
just like a just off the okay. cuff.
First thing you think of.
Which I think this first one's the easy one. Your favorite TV show.
My favorite, you know what? I watch hockey games most of the time.
You're supposed to say Landman.
Well, no. I was going to say I'm currently watching Landman, and it is spectacular.
Spectacular, I agree.
You know, but there's so much good stuff being streamed.
Yeah.
It's a good time. If you're somebody who likes to watch a lot of television, there's a lot that you can watch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But let's start with hockey games.
Do you golf?
I do.
You golf.
Not very well, but I do.
Who is your favorite athlete to watch of all time?
It would be a hockey player, and I never like to name one. But if you think back at our game, mm-hmm. I mean, Wayne Gretzky's impact on me, there's a reason he's called the Great One.
Right.
And it's fun to watch now what's happening with Alex Ovechkin going for a record
yeah. Yeah.
that... Nobody
I know my kids. My kids check the scores every yeah, yeah. morning to see how Obi's doing. Best pizza in New York.
Most traditional pizzerias. I mean, there's one on every block.
Your favorite place to vacation?
My favorite place to vacation. I like. Well, we have a house in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
Kids grew up there, learning how to ski. But I've been all around the world and. You know, not one place in particular.
Okay, so we're going right to a you know, more personal. Best advice that you've ever received?
Do the right thing. Make decisions for the right reasons. Don't play games. Don't be political. And if you have to tell people something they don't want to hear, you tell it to them anyway. You don't BS people.
And then now on our new venture, which we're very excited to start, especially here at the HQ, what advice do you have for us?
In terms of your venture,
mm-hmm.
Continue doing what you're doing. Be fun, be engaging. You know, covering sports shouldn't be like doing an autopsy. It should be fun, it should be entertaining, it should be engaging, and it should be connective, bringing people together, because that's what sports does better than anything else.
I love that.
We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We love you, Garzy.
Thanks, Garzy.
Thanks for being with me, and thanks for coming into New York. It's yeah. great to be with you.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
So that just happened.
that was so fun.
That was our first guest, Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Where do we go from here?
Well, I mean, honestly, we started out with the top, which is absolutely insane. But what did you take away from that? What'd you think?
I just loved his commitment to his family. You can see when he walked in off camera talking about, you know, his family and his grandkids and the commitment through the league and here in the offices. I just think it's how it infiltrates from top to bottom.
Yep.
It's family first, and it really shows in our league, and I feel that.
Yeah,
he's so special.
He's a very friendly guy, and he just, you know, he came in our little couch setup that we requested, and like literally just
he's asking us questions.
You could have talked for like another 2 hours.
We need a part two because yeah. The fact that we got cut, like, but we're doing it again. We're running it back. But wait, what about Florida?
I know, that was actually insane because I think at first he was kind of like,
How do these girls know?
Yeah, can we talk about it? But I'm not gonna lie in terms of that, because as we told him that we like love these outdoor games, I love Florida, I love Miami. You know, I go to Miami all the time. I love the Marlins Stadium, so I'm actually like,
and outdoor games are such a special. You guys played in one last year. Jeff has played in a million, it seems like, and we're playing in one this year in Columbus at the Ohio State Football Stadium.
Yeah.
So like they're just like these magical events that bring not only like you like circle that date as a family, and you really look the whole season towards that of like, you know, what are we going to wear? The wives are making certain jackets.
Well, now it's become kind of like a playoff game.
It is a built-in playoff game. And it's just so fun. And family members coming from all over and just that experience. And then it's always the variable of like the weather. What are we going to be dealing with?
A lot of times it's freezing. So that's why it's funny that he has to now think about like Florida.
Yeah, I know the logistics of keeping the ice.
So now we're official.
It's it. So do what you do with podcast Never Offside with Julie and Kat. Go find it wherever you listen to your podcast. Like, subscribe, write reviews, all the things that you got to do around podcasts. Please do share with your friends, your family, and write us. Let us know what you want to hear.
Yeah, we're very excited to start this. So here we go.
Let's do it. It's going to be fun.